Those who have just stepped in, welcome. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Glenn. I'm part of the staff team here at Aldersgate Talks. We're thinking about this question here, how can you be sure of the right way to live? Now, I wonder what conclusions you came to on this. Do you create a plan and stick to it no matter what happens? Do you make a plan but be flexible with it and allow for adjustments as you plod along in life? Or do you just wing it each day, knowing that you can't control the future, and so you live how you feel, and where you end up is due to a higher power telling you that this is where you should be? Now, what's funny about this question is that the answer will differ depending on each generation here in this room. Now, I'm not going to call out ages here, don't worry. But in the past, I would say that there are some generations who were told that the best way to live their life is to live it to the fullest and those means. Now, one thing that may stand out from your brief chat here is that many of you will have a different view on what your lived out priority is when it comes to how you live your life. I overheard someone was once told to take this pathway. They said this, "I was told to work hard in school and get a good job, so I did that. Then they said, get married and have a family, so I did that. They said to get a nice house, so I did that. I've got all the things that we are told to aim for in life. And now I'm sitting here thinking, is this it? Isn't there something more?" Now, this advice isn't uncommon today. I was chatting with somebody on Thursday, and they were bemoaning the amount of podcasts that we have out there, run by so-called experts, who will all have an opinion and tell you a way that you should be living your life. Now, I often find myself scrolling through social media, and every so often you will see an expert who pops up and tells you to do something, be it the best way to flip a house in the property market and make money off it, the best way to invest your money in the stock exchange, or even the best diet and fitness lifestyle that you could have. Now, the only thing that is that a lot of these opinions are very conflicting. Take, for example, Stephen Bartlett here from Diary of a CEO. Now, his podcast generates on average 10 million listeners each month, and he has around 2 million views per episode on YouTube. Now, Stephen Bartlett's podcast has been criticized for spreading misinformation, as experts have came out and said that the guests that he has on the show constantly tell wrong facts. And in the iPaper last week, actually, Nick Holton criticized both Stephen Bartlett and many other podcasters such as Joe Rogan, Theo Vaughn, and Andrew Schultz for their willingness to treat opinions as fact. Now, I'm not here to add to that pile of criticism, but what it does show us is this. People are searching for something, and they are looking for answers. And there is a reason why the likes of these individuals are as popular as they are today. People are searching for direction and a way to live. Now, when you Google the best way to live, a whole range of answers pop up. Let's just spend a few minutes thinking about some of these quotes given from celebrities who have told us what they think is the best way to live. Oprah Winfrey, one of the most influential people on the planet, has said this. "You're fulfilling your purpose on earth when you are the real you." It's interesting, isn't it? That the best way to live is to look inside and find the real me, and I live me out. Let's just park that for 1 second. Let's think about what other people might say. Civil rights activist Maya Angelou says that life is doing the best you can, and no one can do more than that. It's about making progress, self-improvement. Now, this sounds quite like what Kevin Hart, the comedian and actor, also once said. "If you choose not to grow, you're staying in a small box with a small mindset. People who win go outside the box." So let's just park those views there as well. Now, let's think about someone else here. Scientist and former musician, Professor Brian Cox, he says this. "The fact that we all exist is worth celebrating." So there's three very different sets of views there. And I think we can see these three facets of how people choose to live their lives today. It's about these three things. It's about enjoying ourselves, it's about improving ourselves, and it's about being true to ourselves. This is the way that people choose to live today. And because of this, they all then say that to find meaning in yourself and all that you do, that is the right way to live. And maybe that's you. Maybe this is the course that you're following in the way that you live. But say you find the same success that these people did, would it give you the same direction and purpose that you were looking for? Life can all throw us curveballs. And sometimes the path that we choose to follow can lead to dead ends. And even those ways that look promising and self-fulfilling aren't the remedy that we need. Actor Jim Carrey once said this, "I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see it's not the answer." Now this idea isn't a new one here. In fact, this idea was written thousands of years ago and it appears in our Bibles today. Listen to the words of a successful man who gave everything as he too was trying to work out the right way to live. He says this, "Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and a striving after the wind. And there was nothing to be gained under the sun." Now that's a really interesting phrase there, isn't it? To be striving after the wind. Trying to find a way to follow that seems right, but not being able to see where it goes and finding out that it never leads anywhere in the end. And so if the answer that we're looking for doesn't come from the inside, then surely it must be found outside of us. If we look inside ourselves and find ourselves wanting more, and if anything that this world offers us isn't enough, then the answer has to come from above and beyond our reach. Now, I don't know who here has seen the Barbie movie. Top movie. I highly recommend it. It's pretty good. But in Barbie, Barbie herself is on a journey. And she's on a journey of discovery after her world falls apart. And part of the wider storyline is that Barbie is discovering why she was made as she meets her creator, Ruth, who steps into Barbie's world. Now, wouldn't it be great for us if we had a similar experience as she did? And yet, as Christians, we believe that something similar happened in history so that we can know the way to live. In John's Gospel, a biographical account about Jesus Christ, John, as an eyewitness, wants us to know who Jesus is. Now, I don't know here what you make of Jesus, or what you've heard of him, or even your opinion of him. But I reckon that it's safe to say that he is a fascinating character. Just listen to this quote from writer and historian H.G. Wells. He says this, "I am an historian, not a believer. But I must confess that as a historian, that this penniless preacher from Nazareth is irrevocably the very center of history. Jesus Christ is easily the most dominant figure in all of history." But what might surprise you about Jesus is that he came to show us a right way to live. In John chapter 14, Jesus speaks to his followers, and in his speech, he offers us a way to know our Creator and a way to know how to live. Listen to these words in John chapter 14, or pick up the John's Gospels in front of you and turn with me to page 43. And let's look at these words together in John chapter 14. Jesus says this, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Now, contrary to what we have seen and looked at earlier from the quotes of our celebrity friends, it's not about the journey that you take in the direction of your life, but it's the destination that matters. Jesus tells his followers that he's going to prepare a place for them, and one day he will come back to take them to that place. They will know the way. But that raises further questions. Because where is this destination that Jesus is going to? Well, he's talking about his father's house, but where is that exactly? In fact, one of Jesus' followers, Thomas, asked the question that we're all thinking at this point. And he says to Jesus, "We do not know the way you're going. How can we know the way?" If God, our Creator, is where Jesus is going, and he's preparing a place there for us to go and meet him, then how can we get there? What is the way that we need to take? Now, many religions and sects will offer you ideas of how to get to God. And a lot of them feel like ladders or staircases, with each step getting you closer and closer. But if you miss a step, then you fall short, and you're back at the beginning again. Now, there are one or two benefits to this, don't get me wrong. They feel practical, there's something you can do, and they're tangible, for you can see yourself doing them, and it's proven to you that you think you're getting somewhere. But the only problem is it won't work. Why is that? Well, imagine if you were in a house and there was it caught on fire, and so you do what any normal person does, you call 999. The fire brigade turns up and you say to them, "Please put out the fire." And they arrive and say, "What have you got?" So you look around and you see a glass of water. You tell them you have a glass of water, but the fire is blazing all the more and more. And they say in response to you, "Okay, you can do this. Take the glass of water and throw it on the fire." Your rescue is absolutely useless with all the rubbish tools that you have at your disposal. The fire brigade are there with their fire engine and their hose and all their equipment, and they're thinking, "You've got this, mate." You see, John, the writer of this gospel, he tells us at the beginning why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come to show us all the tools that we have and to just do what we have at our disposal to try and get to heaven, to try and get to God. Instead, Jesus came to make God known to us by showing us the way to live. And Jesus tells us a bit more about that in the passage that we have read. Look at it again with me. Jesus says, "Believe in God, believe also in me." So if you believe in God, you also believe in Jesus. And let's flip that around because it works the other way too. To believe in Jesus, that is to follow Jesus and to trust his words, is to also believe in God. And Jesus has given a promise to everyone who believes in him here in these verses. He is saying, if you believe in him, then the way to God is set for you. Believing in Jesus equals knowing the way to God, who wants you to know him. And Jesus sums it up in verse 6 when he says this about himself. "I am the way." I am the way. That's what he says. And so if you believe in Jesus, if you see that he is the way to know God, then you're in the right direction in life. And so the difference between religion and what we are reading here is this. Religion tells us that we have to do something to know God. Here we are seeing that Jesus has done something for us to get to know God. And that's by coming to reveal himself as the way to God. Now, it can be hard for us to know which way to go in life sometimes. I remember trying to find my way in my early adult years and not knowing which direction to take. And I felt like I was dropped in the middle of a desert, and there was a multitude of ways in which I could turn. I could go this way, I could go that way, I could go this way, I could go that way. It was overwhelming. There were paths that I tried as well, and I felt like I was going around in circles, or they led to dead ends. They didn't provide what I was looking for. See, that aimless wandering is something that many of us feel. Perhaps that's you right now. You're not the first person to feel it. And many people over the years have captured the essence of why this is the case. Just listen to this quote from a man called Augustine, who said these words. He was an African minister 1600 years ago. He says this, "Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find our rest in you." You see, in the same way Barbie found out why she was made, we can find for ourselves why we were made. We were made to know God. We were made to find our way to Him. And through Jesus, that is possible for us to do. We don't have to try it through our own efforts or anything that we do. Jesus makes it possible for us because He is the way. So how can you be sure of the right way to live your life? Well, you were made to know God. And to know God is to know Jesus. Jesus tells us that He is the way to God. And He has given you the way to know Him.